Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio at 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, our podcast is uploaded just moments after the show goes off the air. Our Periscope is streaming live right now on the Facebook and Twitter accounts. You can go check out fanrunradio.com for a great website, for a great way to keep up with all the information from the Tennessee baseball, basketball, and football teams. And last but not least, go ahead and download the Fan Run Radio app from your app store, which you can do so for free. You can take the show, take the station, wherever you are headed throughout your day, each and every day. But of course, you already knew all that. Gentlemen, hour number one is in the books. We got into some good conversation about a little bit about the football team, a little bit about the Masters, some of what's going on in the tournament right now. But we got all that in the books. Hour number two on deck. You guys ready to roll?
Let's do it.
All right, fantastic. You got myself, Brandon, Chance, and Charlie hanging out with us, starting out the second hour of the show. Chance, what do you say before we get into a little Tennessee baseball conversation here in the next segment? We start out this hour with a little bit of an opening drive.
Not a problem at all. And also correct, thank you to Volstorm with a correction. I don't know where I got Howard. It's Roger Dorn. You know what I'm talking about now.
Oh,
Roger Dorn from Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Huh. I feel like I just only heard him called Dorn.
Yeah, that's what they call him pretty much most of the movie.
All right, here we go. First down. As we were just told in the break a second ago, it looks like Devontae Gaines has found a new home in college basketball. Devontae Gaines is heading to George Mason University as he reunites with former assistant coach of Tennessee and now head coach of George Mason, Kim English. So good for him. I think that's an all right move.
Yeah, there was a lot of speculation that he was going to go up the street to ETSU. But, yeah, lands a good home. I think it's pretty cool for those guys to go link up with, you know, already assistants that they were familiar with. You know, Kim English now a head coach. Also, we didn't talk about Drew Pember transferred to UNC Asheville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another great point.
Be playing against Des Oliver.
Very
is that
true.
Correct? They're in the same conference?
Yep.
ETSU and
they are.
Very nice.
So, yeah, Devontae Gaines finds a home. I hope he does well, too, and gets rid of probably that lasting memory of missing that free throw.
He was really one of the most likable players we've had in a long time, I feel like.
Well, I mean, and two, let's – I mean, it was an extremely tough break for Gaines because, I mean, he did what he was in the game to do. He did his
he
job.
He wasn't in there to make free throws.
Exactly. He did exactly what he was supposed to do and then just took had a bad break, got fouled, and couldn't hit the free throws. But what do you do?
I know. That is tough.
Transfer to George Mason, I guess.
Happy trails.
That is it. All right, second down. Taking a look at the updated Masters Tournament leaderboard right now. Justin Rose is still your leader through five holes today, although he is one over par on the day. So Justin Rose sits at the top at six under par at the moment. But it is Bernd Weisberger, who is the biggest mover on
who that
the day.
Is? Burned?
Burned. B-E-R-N-D.
He's going off.
He is going bananas right now. He has moved 29 spots today.
The Austrian.
He has jumped up to the second position in the tournament. Through 10 holes on the day, this man is 6 under par after ending the day 2 over par yesterday. He's had an incredible day. And again, he is right now in second place at 4 under, only 2 strokes behind Justin Rose. And then rounding out your top three, another big mover on the day, Mark Leishman, has jumped up 10 spots in the day, as through 7 holes, he is 3 under through the day to make his final to make his overall tournament score also 3 under, meaning he was an even par on the day yesterday. So between Weisberger, who has jumped up 29 spots, Leishman, who has jumped up 10 spots, you have Justin Rose, who has won over on the day, and that is your top 3 right now in the Masters.
Burned.
I mean, I assume that's what it is. B-E-R-N-D.
Maybe it's burned.
Burned through those guys.
Yeah, he did. Burned up the leaderboard.
I wonder if it's Weisberger.
Oh.
Yeah, it is probably.
You say
W's or V's.
Weisberger. Oh. I like it. And then Brandon, your guy. Maybe the Blitz's guy. Christian Bezuidenhout. He is currently tied for 6 right now. He's 2 under par. Bezuidenhout.
It's my guy.
I know. I like that name a lot. All right. Here we go. Third down. Gentlemen, a brand new NBA mock draft has been released. And we know that this also comes after both Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer have announced their intent to leave the University of Tennessee, hire an agent, and enter the NBA draft. So, you want to know where these guys are projected to land?
I'm going to say...
Let's start with the back. Let's start with Springer.
Okay, I'm going to say Springer is like...
This is fun.
13 to 16.
I'm going to say he's 10 to 12.
Of the first round? Both of you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First round, yeah. Okay. Charlie? You got any kind of prediction where Jaden Springer right now is currently mocked?
25 to 30.
All right. So, Jaden Springer right now currently mocked to go 28th overall to the Phoenix Suns.
Okay. Like, that'd be a good fit for him.
Teaming up with Chris Paul and sitting behind Devin Booker.
Yeah, a good coach, Monty Williams, out there. Likely,
they really turned things around this
year. Likely your coach of the year in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. I don't trust him. I don't trust him in the playoffs.
I thought you were saying you didn't trust their head coach.
No. I don't trust the Suns in the playoffs.
I do.
I think they'll win their first round matchup. It's after that, they'll probably get put out.
Suns Heat, the hottest NBA finals of all time.
Good one, Chuck.
That was good. All right, and then Keon Johnson.
7 to 10.
Yeah, my bad. Go ahead, Jance.
4 to 8.
Six to 11.
You're all pretty much right on the nose. Keon Johnson, according to ESPN, projected to go number 6 overall to the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't love that. I don't know.
Well, that means
he'll pair up with SGA.
He has to compete with the other 26 draft picks they have in the next 2 years.
That's one of the things. I'd rather go somewhere else.
I do love SGA, though.
The idea behind the Thunder feels like Keon Johnson's perfect. Too. Yeah, right?
Student Government Association is really good.
It feels like...
Got a lot of things done over the
very
years.
Cool.
It feels like the Thunder... Like, Keon Johnson would be perfect for the Thunder because the Thunder are just going to try to get as much potential as they possibly can. And then be like, all right, now we're just going to see what works out of all this potential. Keon Johnson fits that bill. But it is interesting to see him mocked there. I don't love either spot. But, hey, I think these two guys are more than capable of making a name for themselves. Are there anybody else from the college basketball world that you're interested in knowing where they got mocked?
Well, who's number one? I want to know.
Number one is Cade Cunningham.
Correct.
Minnesota. I'd say 2 or 3 has got to be Suggs around that area.
Suggs is number 3.
So number 2 is the guy from USC.
That is correct. Evan Mobley.
Where's Luka Garza?
Luka Garza.
It's probably in like the 45 to 55 range.
Jeez.
Okay. Maybe 55 to 60
range. Garza's
54.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, he's not.
54.
That high.
What is interesting, though, right here is... 2 out of the top 5, so you have 4 and 5 right before Keon Johnson, are both G League guys.
Yeah.
So you have college, G League, college.
Yeah, guys who took that opportunity to go to the G League instead of going to the 1 year college.
Kuminga. Is that how you say it?
Jonathan Kuminga.
I don't know if that's how you say it, but he was so impressive in the G League. I mean, I think he's a guy that could be end up being the second pick.
And then another interesting thing I'm seeing here is Davion Mitchell, one of the standouts from the tournament from Baylor, is projected at 7, right behind Keon
Johnson. There are just so many good players in this draft.
There is. There really
oh,
is.
I just
Other names that you might find interesting from the SEC, Trey Mann at 18, Sharif Cooper from 19.
Moses Moody
at 21. A lot of SEC guys. And then keep going down, B.J. Boston at 35, Keontae Johnson at 39.
That's a cool story there. That's the Florida kid who had the fall.
Yeah, it is.
Is
Herbert Jones at 56.
Yivis going to get drafted in this, according to this?
Yivis, unfortunately, the big Frenchman, is not projected in the mock draft.
That's tough.
Unfortunately.
Might as well come back, right? Right, Yves? Please?
I hope so.
He's not coming back.
He should have went last season.
Yeah. He's not coming back. I wish he would. That'd be cool.
It is interesting to think about his stock. Maybe was a little bit higher.
I don't think it was higher. I just think the talent was worse in that class. Like, I think his stock is still high. People like him as a, come off the bench defender, role player type. But this class is just so talented that he's not worth the pick in this draft.
He could be like a Montrezl Harrell if he could actually score. Like that body, like come off, like plays good defense. If
you could just stick him in a gym and make him practice 3-point shots for 5 hours a day and for an entire year.
Be a 3-and-D.
And just make him a 3-and-D guy, he'd be an excellent 3-and-D guy because he's so athletic, his release point is high enough, it's hard to contest his shots.
No, I agree with you. Good analysis, Chuck.
Yeah, I do agree with you guys. Man, that mock draft is really interesting. And honestly, we might have to come back to it maybe at the beginning of next week because there are so many names. And now that we know that both Tennessee, Tennessee is going to have both Johnson and Springer definitively, I'm really finding it interesting where they're going to go. And I want to see if Jaden Springer is able to raise his stock a little bit. He's sitting there at 28. Do you guys think there's any way that he can... really keep climbing up a little bit? I mean, right now that is first round, correct?
Yeah. I guess it might be a little. You say it might be tougher on them this year. They're not doing a combine, right?
I think they just had like virtual stuff.
Yeah, they're doing virtual workouts.
So, I mean, he's not going to get those scrimmages, and he's not going to get that in person evaluation, and in a large scale with other players there. I think it's pretty much impossible for his stock to rise that much, especially since. Athletically, there's nothing that really sets him apart from other top prospects. He's a good athlete, but, I mean, not exceptionally better in one specific field than anyone else.
So there are, what, 30 NBA teams?
Correct.
So him sitting at 28 is in the first round. Do you expect him to maybe fall out of the first round at all, or do you think that, hey, this is a guy who I believe could go... Well, more than likely, maybe go first round.
I've always thought he's been a first round. He's been even mocked in some draft before this one, like as a top 15. I've seen him, but he has considerably dropped, as Charlie said, because he doesn't really have enough that separates him from the other prospects ahead of him. I think he'll stay first round, but that's probably where he'll be at. I think what's going to be more fun for Vol fans, keep this in mind, be able to watch these guys when the summer league starts. When you'll get to see them get a lot of play time, see how they're developing and the pro level, and there'll be a lot of games on where you'll get to see Springer and Keon Johnson, and they'll be like showcasing their abilities.
I mean, it's just going to be fun as Rick Barnes continues to recruit to year in and year out, start to get guys in the NBA that aren't going to have to work really hard to carve out a role off the bench in their third year, then get traded somewhere else and finally start like a Tobias Harris or like a Josh Richardson or whatever else, but guys that are drafted to be, leaders of teams.
Yeah, this is huge for Tennessee and Rick Barnes, too. I mean, he can say that, you continue to send you continue to develop NBA talent and first-round talent. I mean, you can come here and you can be a first-round draft pick. Like, he can sell that in development and however many guys he has sent over the last – they say 4 years, so he's doing a good job of that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then fourth and final down, gentlemen, tonight at 6:30 p.m., the Baseballs will take the field at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. If you're at home, you can be watching it on the SEC Network Plus, Tennessee, Florida. in one of the most anticipated SEC divisional series at home for the Vols this year. On the other side of the break, we'll be talking to Logan Quinton of FanRoomRadio.com. He has given us a preview and everything you will need to know coming up for this series right after this.
What the hell is this?
Gold. Watching the dandelions grow. What is this from?
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
I like it. I like it.
I kind of do too.
It's nice.
No.
It's nice.
It's not nice.
It's sweet.
Peter, Paul, and Mary. The same ones that do Puff the Magic Dragon.
Don't. Yes. Good job, Brandon.
Don't you put any disrespect on Peter, Paul, and Mary. You know what they are? Very cool.
Peter, Paul, and Mary are not very cool.
I kind of got a groove, Rick.
I like this song. Let's see if Logan likes it. Logan Quinton of FanRoomRadio.com. Logan, what do you think of this song? What is it? How does it make you feel?
Did I call the right number?
Thank you, Logan. What happened to Alabama and John Fogerty? Peter, Paul, and Mary.
The cheap seats. I like it.
Puff,
I like this.
The magic dragon.
Switch it up every week.
Lives by the sea.
I had to double check the digits there for a minute.
Look, you know what?
Don't be knocking Peter, Paul, and Mary.
You never know what to expect.
Not today.
Here on a
Not
Friday.
Today. PPM, baby. PPM.
Shut up.
Show's dedicated to Peter, Paul, and Mary. Logan, good morning.
Change of pace. Yeah. Good morning, fellas.
How you doing today?
Doing great.
I know.
How about you guys?
We're doing pretty good. I know you've probably been having a lot of baseball watching going on, but have you put a pause in any of that to check in with the Masters so far?
No, and I had a feeling you were going to ask me that. Sorry to disappoint, but a lot of baseball to consume, whether it's college or the pros. Just way too much baseball going on for me to take a pause. You know, like on a Sunday or on moving day, I might take a moment to see what's going on, check the leaderboard, something like that. But, you know, the early days, the Thursday, Friday matches, you know, I'm not checking out the Masters this early.
All right. Well, then let's stick right to the diamond then. Hey, I'm telling you, this guy lives, eats, breathes, and sleeps baseball. So he's the guy we got to talk to always on Fridays.
Well, if he's been watching the Braves, ain't really been too much to watch.
Hey, 2-4 has never felt so good, let me tell you.
Does it? What is your thoughts on the Braves real quick?
You know, not too worried. I mean, that doubleheader was interesting. You know, it was nice to all of a sudden wake up and get two games instead of being down 0-6. It felt like that first elusive win was never going to come, but not too worried right now. Things not going in the right direction early on. It's going to be a tough division, like we talked about. I mean, there are going to be teams in that division go on 6-7 game losing skids, just like there's going to be teams rattle off 8 or 9 wins in a row, and the Braves are certainly capable of doing that. So no worries right now.
Hey, I think that's some good stuff right there, and that is fascinating. But, hey, let's bring it into a little Tennessee baseball action. Right now, Logan, Tennessee is 25-5, have posted their best, what was the year we talked about, 2004?
2004, yeah,
I believe it was 2004. Tennessee's best 30-game start since 2004, 25-5 with an 83% winning percentage. Man, things are pretty good right now, but a big test coming up this weekend as one of the big rivals in the SEC, Florida, comes to town. The Vols will throw first pitch tonight at 6:30 p.m., What are you feeling about this game in the series?
Man, this is huge. Like you said, to put in perspective, we're going back almost two decades in terms of making history. Like the highest ranking since 2001, where the Vols sit at number 4 in some composites. You know, this is huge, and I don't want to look too far past, but I think it's important to put into context, like, depending on what happens this weekend, we're looking at a top 5 matchup next weekend, potentially a slight chance of a number 1 versus number 2 with your in-state rival Vanderbilt. So, I mean, this is huge. But first things first, they've got the Gators on the menu, on the docket this week. And this is big time. Florida's a big time baseball school. Everyone knows that. They are top 10 in some composites, but generally they're outside of the top 10 in some. But nonetheless, this is huge. And it's going to be – Florida's a lot like Alabama in terms of their offense and what we saw last weekend. They're a powerful lineup, but the Gators have more potential than Alabama. But it's a powerful lineup that they're a bit erratic. And I wrote about this week. You know, we've seen these guys sweep Texas A&M and then follow that up the next weekend and got swept by South Carolina. Now, they're coming off of a series win against Ole Miss, which was really, really nice. Ole Miss is a top five team. But this Florida team has been kind of all over the place. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. And it starts tonight with Chad Dallas on the bump.
Pump the brakes on the 1-2 talk. Let's get through Florida first, Logan. Let's get through Florida first.
That's what I said. I said first things first. Gators up.
Hey, you do got some exciting things coming up in the future, but I'd say one of the more exciting things coming up right now is to see Chad Dallas again on the mound tonight. What has he done for Tennessee so far this year, establishing himself as one of the elite pitchers on Tennessee's roster? Tennessee has relied on him multiple times, I feel like, throughout this season so far, especially to kick off some series wins. Again, I know that the Alabama game did not go in Tennessee's favor to start things off last weekend, but what can you say about Chad Dallas and just the kind of way that he's maybe stepped up this year?
Yeah, he's been huge. We've talked about it numerous times with Jackson Leith going down. Dallas has had to be the guy where there's no question about it. He is the lead horse. And I find it interesting. I'm glad you asked me that, Rick. So check this out. So Cheese got a little bit beat up last week. Not too bad, but it was uncharacteristic. He gave up a few runs. He only lasted 3 2/3. They got him out of there down in Alabama. But the past two times that Cheese has given up more than 3 runs, where he's gotten roughed up a little bit, he's bounced back and gone 5 innings or longer and gave up 1 run or less. So things are trending in the right direction in terms of Cheese performing tonight up to his typical standards. And I think he will. And there's something to that. There's something, you know, Chad Dallas isn't this Garrett Crochet type of pitcher or Kumar Rocker, Jack Leiter type of pitcher to where he's holding teams to 1 run and you're winning games 2-1 or whatever. Like, he has an ERA of 4.28. So, you know, it's not like an ERA that's just out of this world and stuff. What happens is, I think, and what I've witnessed, is that the offense, the dugout, kind of gets a jolt out of Chad Dallas and the way he works and his approach on the mound. He works fast, and he has a lot of energy. And I think other players feed off that. And I look back at it, and going back to last year, Tennessee averages 5.5 runs when Chad Dallas starts. So there's something to that. And they've never scored less than 3 runs in Chad Dallas starts. So I look for them to score some runs tonight. And like we talked about with the LSU game, I said that game was going to go 1-3. I think this one we're looking at 1-5 wins the game.
Logan, you talk about Cheese Dallas. He's got a tough matchup tonight, too, going up against Florida's ace, Tommy Mace. Looking at this game, if Tennessee were to win this series, Florida was the unanimous preseason number one team in the nation when we got started this season. Would this solidify this Tennessee team as being, you know, a contender, the real deal, if they were able to take this series this weekend?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, without question. And then that sets up, like I said, Vanderbilt coming home, and you have to defend that. So, but this is big time. Like Alabama was tough, LSU was tough, but those teams are still in the process of like finding their identity and things like that. Florida is, like I said, they're fringe top 10 team right now. So this is big time. It's the biggest matchup of the year. And like you mentioned, Tommy Mace, he'll be on the bump tonight, I expect. It's not official, but I expect that matchup with Mace in Dallas. Florida is a little bit off tilt in terms of their schedule because last week they had a Thursday, Friday, Saturday slate as their weekend slate. So I expect Mace to go. He went last Thursday, so that would make for an extra day's rest and naturally starting tonight. So that's what I expect.
The Diamond Vols, they've been they're 6-0 going into extra innings. What surprised you more about this team, the clutch factor, the personality of the team, or I mean, it's a little bit all of the above. I mean, we talk about Coach Vitello
and the swagger that they
have. That's what I'm saying. Like, is it the swagger? It kind of surprises me that they are this good.
And even to add something to that, Chance, why, Logan, to you, does this team play with such a chip on their shoulder, it feels like? To me, maybe it's because the city and the campus and all the students, you primarily look at basketball and football as the two big sports at Tennessee, but ultimately, neither one of those sports has been too successful in the last few years. Meanwhile, the baseball team has been on a complete tear over the last few seasons. Why do you think, and that's, again, in addition to what Chance is saying about the swagger and the up-tempo stuff, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, too, I would add.
Yeah, so to answer Chance's question, what's more surprising, I actually do think, like, the clutch factor is the most surprising because you're down Jackson Leith, and you started the season with a couple of other injuries, and you exit that, the talent of Garrett Crochet. Like, Garrett Crochet was an absolute beast on the mound and has the utmost confidence. The confidence that dude has is just unmatched. And so, like, losing that and then, like, Alaric Solari, Zach Daniels, and then starting the season with an injury to Leith, one of your lead guys, and then a couple other little injuries, like, I guess that surprises me. The clutch factor of it kind of surprises me. Not that they've done well in clutch situations, but they're 6-0 in those, like Chance mentioned. But then to answer your point about the energy and the swag, it doesn't surprise me about their confidence and their swag because Tony Vitello, like, sort of implemented that, like, right away. And just with his interviews and what we saw a few years ago, and calling the other coach out, you know, coach your own team meat stick. Like, that stuff is just awesome. And they've certainly taken the identity of their head coach, and it feels like that on campus, around the baseball program, like you mentioned, and the fans, they're gravitating towards this team, and it's almost like the program and the fans are forming their own identity simultaneously, and it's beautiful to watch.
All right, Logan, so we got our game tonight. We cannot wait for it. You said that you expect this first game to be maybe a first-to-five kind of game. What are you expecting for the weekend? Will Tennessee be able to take the series, in your opinion?
I think so, absolutely. And I also wrote about this, that I think they have the edge here. Not only are they playing at home, but they have been the most consistent team, obviously, and a lot of that's due to their performance on the base pass. They lead the league in stolen bases with 40. Florida is second to last with 13. Plus, you got Pavloni, who can gun guys out consistently, manning the catcher position. So I don't think it's going to be hard for Florida to get extra bases here, to kind of steal bases and steal runs and things of that nature. The Vols just do it consistently. They don't have a great batting average, but they lead the league in walks. They get on base. They create opportunities. And like we mentioned, they're clutch. So I think that consistency, that clutch gene, I think it's going to come through. They're also consistent on the mound. I think Tennessee has the edge here, and I expect them to take 2 or 3.
That right there is Logan Quinton of FanRunRadio.com. You can go find all of his work on FanRunRadio.com. But Logan, man, we appreciate you once again here on a Friday, taking a little bit of time out of your day to talk to us about some Tennessee baseball action. We can't wait for the game to get first pitch to be underway tonight at 6:30 p.m. Thank you very much for everything, Logan.
Thanks, guys.
It was always a measure of my self-esteem, because the fastest, the strongest...
You got to cut the Peter, Paul, and Mary.
First, the last ones they picked were the worst.
Information regarding some of these departures and arrivals pretty quickly after the news is released. By the way, also, reminder that tomorrow morning will be an open practice for the Tennessee football team. They'll be over at Neyland Stadium. The gates are opening at 9:15 a.m., so as long as the weather permits, you are more than able to go out and check out the team. I know, look, and there's also been a lot of conversation about the scrimmage, but make no mistake about it. I don't know how much the football team cares about the fans being there. I think the football team cares about the recruits that are potentially going to be on their way to that practice tomorrow. We know that, you know, we know from certain reports that there are going to be recruits that Tennessee is trying to bring in to the open practice tomorrow. So at the very least, let's hope for no rain in that sense. Hey, we'll close out the show with a bang right after this.
Apex Pest Control is your complete pest management company right here in Knoxville. Residential or commercial, they've got you covered. They're doing both.
Wrong with him.
Back here on the Blitz, 11:49 a.m.
in the Breaks podcast,
heading into the weekend, and the weekend is certainly approaching based on the conversation going around right now. I can't wait for it. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
So bring a recorder in here and just record what happens during the breaks, put it on Patreon, make us some cha-ching.
I guarantee it's
sell
better content sometimes than the show.
Yeah, not safe for work. But boy, is it fun! Boy, is it fun during work. In case you need a little bit of a little bit of a break, that's what we need to make it there for. Either way, all right, gentlemen. Closing out the show on a Friday. Looking back at the whole week, it's been a great week. In hindsight, we've done a lot of really fun things. I know one of my favorite things from this weekend was our conversation with WWE superstar Bianca Belair from yesterday. In case you missed any of that, you can go back and check it out in the Fan Run podcast feed. It's got its own little podcast and everything. You can go check it out there. As tomorrow, we are literally about 36 or so hours, less than that, away from our own Knoxville star challenging for a championship at WrestleMania. So that's pretty cool. Make sure to go back and check out that podcast in case you missed it. And then also, let's see. Let's see what else. Oh, hey, before we get into the if you haven't heard, I wanted to say this real quick. I wanted to give a shout out to my own sister. I've talked about my sister a couple times. She goes to the University of Oklahoma. She's going through a big medical procedure today. And one that I would not ever want to go through. One that I am nowhere near tough enough. I've never been tough enough to go through what she's going through right now. I would just crumble. So I'd like to wish the absolute best to my sister today. She goes through a little bit of she's working on her back, right? Making sure the back is good. Good to go. So best of luck to her. Gentlemen, that being said, though, let's jump over. Let's get to some if you haven't heard. Close out the show. Anybody want to lead us off?
If you haven't heard. Elon Musk's business partner says he could build a real Jurassic Park with genetically engineered dinosaurs.
Wow. All right. So you're telling me that Elon Musk, the guy who's taking us to space, the guy who's making the electric self-driving cars, his next business venture could potentially wind up being, because apparently, according to you, he has the resources, yes?
The co-founder of Elon Musk's company, Neuralink, tweeted on Saturday that the startup has the technological advances and savvy to create its own Jurassic Park. Quote, "We could probably build Jurassic Park if we wanted to," Max Hodek tweeted Saturday. "Wouldn't be genetically authentic dinosaurs, but maybe 15 years of breeding and engineering to get super exotic novel species."
What? It's going to start creating new species.
Gross.
Look, have we not watched the
yeah, have we not
these
seen
are all
the
movies?
Yeah.
We not seen the movies.
Do we not understand what happens when you mess with the chain of command in nature? Do you not understand what happens when you put an invasive species into another group of animals? Have you not seen the movies? that your idea is based on? I'll tell you, I don't want a Jurassic Park. I would not go. No way.
No way.
Not me. Maybe you, but not me.
If, oh, wait, Rick, you have the really good one, right?
The what?
The really good if you haven't heard.
I have no if you haven't heard. Go ahead and take it.
You're, okay.
I at least I don't,
Okay, well, after, if you haven't heard, after 30 years, the woman with the world's longest fingernails has finally cut them.
Gross.
Yeah, they actually had to bring like out like a grinder type of saw and cut them off.
A chainsaw, maybe.
No, it was a little. I saw it. It was a little.
No, a giant electric chainsaw.
Yeah,
it was a handheld saw. I watched this the other day.
Is that
how long were they?
Is that the news that you thought that I had?
Like,
no, I thought the story that you had was the lovely one about the intruder at the USC football practice.
Oh yeah.
It's the best story of probably this century.
If you haven't heard, the Buckingham Palace confirms the Duke of Edinburgh has died. Prince Philip, he gone.
All right, so I got some questions.
Nine. By the way, before you do that,
quick.
Oh, wow. Charlie, we're going. He gone. Charlie made a good point. There's a wild story right now about the USC football team and an intruder. We're going to talk about it on Monday.
Yeah, I think it deserves way more than 3 minutes. I think it's at least a two block.
So I got some questions.
Yes.
First of all, what's a Duke?
Well, there's the Dukes of Hazzard.
Well, not those.
They're the
Dukes.
Blue Devils.
Like the Duke of Earl?
The Duke of Edinburgh that just passed.
Wasn't he a bad guy?
I don't know. Also,
no, he just old-looking, creepy guy.
He also, looked like a skeleton.
Yeah,
he was 99.
99.
He looked like Jack. All right,
so Duke in the United Kingdom is the highest-ranking hereditary title in all four peerages of the British Isles. A Duke thus outranks all other holders of titles of nobility, Marquess, Earl, Viscount, and Baron. So,
is it better than Queen?
No.
Well, it just said also, it holds
hold on.
Other titles.
Hold on. Also, he's married to Queen Elizabeth, but why is he called Prince Philip? Why is he not the king?
Because wouldn't the king inherently outrank the queen?
Yes.
So therefore, he can't be the king.
Only if you have a misogynistic brain.
No, that's the hierarchy of British history.
Oh, is it, Rick?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Learn your hierarchy.
Let's just get rid of the royal family.
The king is automatically. I didn't make the rules. I'm just reporting the rules.
I think that's male bias.
That's why it's also it's when the queen does die. It's not going to go to Prince Charles. It's going to go to Prince William.
I think we should petition when she dies to just let it all die. Just make them normal people.
Nah, I don't really care what goes over there across the pond. I actually kind of find it fascinating to get these stories from over there. It's like, we don't deal with this kind of stuff. We don't deal with kings and queens and dukes.
I guess it does make us better than them. So.
Yeah, and it doesn't affect me, so I find it fascinating.
I kind of find it pretty fascinating too, Rick.
Kings and queens. It's like living
in... You might even say... It's very cool.
It's like living in the Game of Thrones days in modern day. They're dealing with kings and queens and corruption over there.
Except they don't do it.
There's no ice people.
Yeah, and there's...
Speaking of across the pond, National Day calendar. Today is National Winston Churchill Day.
Oh, very cool.
Very
goodness.
Cool. Winnie! End it there.
Stop it. Stop it. National Former Prisoner of War Recognition Day. R.I.P. Okay. John McCain.
Also very cool.
National Cherish and Antique Day. You guys like antiquing?
I do.
I actually do, too. It's pretty
cool. I think it's really
a lot of antique markets around here in Knoxville. Also, it's National Unicorn Day. I don't know how that works because they're not supposed to be real. National Name Yourself Day. And it's National Chinese Almond Cookie Day.
Yeah. You should have ended with Winston.
We've really started off strong.
Hey, have a great weekend. Be good. Be safe.
Very
See
cool,
Monday.
Brandon.